Hey, everybody. Kevin Grossman, president of Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards. Welcome to 2021 and the new Candy Benchmark Research Program year. We've also got lots of events throughout the year and new programs as well, a new learning program as well as benchmark membership. And you can find all of this at thetalentboard.org. Enjoy the podcast.
I think there's a lot of organizations that are thinking right now about the post-vaccine world and when we need to get back. And it's this really unique interim time when we have a minute to think about how to do it better. So I think there's pent-up demand in a bunch of different places.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Aaron Peterson, partner and global talent acquisition consultant at People Results, helping organizations deliver their top priorities in a changing marketplace and world, and a proud Candidate Experience Award sponsor. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And I'm really excited to join the Candy podcast today. The Talent Board has been something that I have followed since inception years ago, I guess 10 years, right? Are we at 10 years for
we are Talent 10 Board? Years. Yeah,
that's, yeah. It's just been, I think, just a great addition to the whole practice of TA for those of us who have dedicated our careers to it. I am a partner with People Results. We are a small but mighty consulting firm that helps clients in the areas of business transformation, change management, and in my particular area, talent acquisition consultation. I actually work with clients in a number of areas like candidate experience audits. That's definitely become a big practice area for me recently, as well as TA technology and process change and implementation. I also do RPO advisory, and that actually has been growing as well as organizations have been trying to figure out what to do with their recruitment. And leveraging my experience having led TA for Accenture, for Aon and Aon Hewitt, and then Amazon. And now I live in Austin, Texas, and help a lot of different companies do what they do better in the area of TA.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad to not only have you on the show, but also being a longtime supporter of the Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards. We're also a small and mighty team, Aaron, as you know. But small and mighty teams can, you know, do a lot of big work, right? And so I think that where I want to start, and then we'll segue a little bit later on and more about People Results specifically. But this year, as everybody knows, you know, they don't have to continue to be reminded that it was a year like no other, right? And what's interesting when we think about what we see in the Candy research, so pre-COVID, Talent Board, if I go way back to the beginning and being 10 years old, we started obviously coming out of the Great Recession, and then it was nothing but a growth market for 10 years until this year. And then pre-COVID, we is lowest unemployment in decades, and, you know, in the States and globally as well. And then boom, everything changed. So we know everything had to go virtual. Companies definitely had to figure out how to keep moving forward, and with virtual interviewing, virtual onboarding, and leaning on their technology more than they ever have before. What was one of the, I guess, if more surprising things that you found this year with the customers you were working with in this, again, year of general upheaval, shall we say, besides COVID-19? What was something that was really interesting to you?
Well, I think the way that I would characterize it is the pivot. So we were all required to pivot in one way or another. And I guess the way that I saw things take place really right around February and March, where it started to dawn on all of us that this thing was actually going to be bigger than anybody really ever anticipated and imagined, is that especially, you know, most of the clients I was working with, they didn't shut recruiting down, but they did take a pause so that they could figure out how to pivot and how to work hand in hand with business leadership to figure out what the near term and longer term futures were going to look like. And then, interestingly, and I don't know if I would say it surprises me, looking back, but at the time it was a little bit interesting. And that is, it was the platform that we've been waiting for. And I don't mean to characterize it as overly positive, because a lot of people have suffered. But I think what is so interesting is that when we figured out how to pivot, we used it as an opportunity to bring about the change and the technology that we have been trying to implement and trying to get support for a long, long time. Right. And it just, all of a sudden, all the barriers started to fall away from, and all of the objections from business leaders who maybe previously had said, video interviewing, I don't know, aren't we violating some privacy law by seeing the person on video and making a hiring decision? Of course, TA leaders have for a long time known, well, we actually do meet the candidate eventually, you know, maybe later in the process previously, but in person typically in an office interview. And so what's so different about moving the viewing of the candidate back in the process a little bit? So I think those barriers started to fall away as everybody else had other barriers that fell away. You know, we used to meet in person. We used to travel. We used to go to conferences. We thought that was normal. All of a sudden, it wasn't normal. And necessity being the mother of invention, we figured out ways to connect and collaborate and work together, regardless of not being able to be together in person. So I would call it the big pivot. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's pretty darn exciting. I feel like we've moved ahead 5 years.
I would agree with you, Aaron, because sometimes it feels like we were behind 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of those.
Or that the technology was running ahead of the acceptance.
Well, and that, by the way, that is always the case though, right? Because there's always a new platform, a new technology, you know, machine learning, AI, and smart technologies are now filling the room. When they're that new, there are companies that experiment, but it still takes a while to kind of seep into the organization. And you're right. I think collectively, the level of resilience that I think we've seen from the global enterprise level all the way down to small businesses that have done, you know, everything they can and getting as much assistance as possible to locally and the state level and federal level to keep moving. And again, didn't want to make this about government, but I think it's important to note that communities have rallied around their local businesses as well. Because we talk a lot, right? You and before we even started this podcast, we were just talking about this. We talk a lot about the professional hiring world a lot of the time when we're talking about recruiting and hiring, and but not a lot about hourly workers, you know, the millions that are out of work right now. And it's a different world because a lot of us can work from home, can work remotely, can interview and onboard remotely for many different kinds of positions, but not for everybody.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, when I led the Aon Hewitt RPO as the general manager for that for a couple of years, and one of our largest clients was a global hotel chain. Now you can only imagine, you know, hiring that team. You know, we hire tens of thousands of people every year for that global hotel chain. And guess what? I mean, it's not only about local businesses with hourly employees, it's about global businesses with hourly employees. And, you know, you have to think completely differently about how to engage and assess and onboard candidates who, you know, have to actually work in person. But if possible, you'd like for the process to hire them not be in person. Super interesting. Let me just give maybe one more little example. Another client of mine, which is a major trucking company in the US, had to figure out how to pivot and think differently about how they were hiring drivers. So they still had to hire drivers. They still had to actually have them show up at a physical location. But what we helped them think through, and the original ask was, should we RPO this recruiting? Is that the way we should go virtual in terms of meeting and acquiring candidates? Now, RPO is a great solution for some companies with a lot of different roles. So I'm usually a fan of trying to figure out what the right partner might be. But in this particular case, the more we looked at their challenges, the more we realized that conversational AI was a much better solution for them. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about drivers who are on the road, long periods of time, they always have a mobile with them. The conversational AI takes all the friction out of the process, because if you have a truck wrap that says, we're hiring, you know, or it's great to work here, text truck jobs to 12121 or whatever, you know. And so the trucker sees that, kind of, you know, smart enough to remember the numbers. Next time they pull over, they text into that number and you've got them. And literally conversational AI, in my experience, can take a 3-week process down to, you know, literally scheduling the person for an interview in 90 seconds. They go through, you know, simple question and answer. If they're at a basic level qualified, they have a good track record. You literally have got them scheduled in 90 seconds. What a game changer. And I think there are companies who previously just would never have been open to that right. kind of a radical solution. And in their mind, it's a radical solution. We all know it's not. Right. But I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to kind of cut away all of the objections at this point and say, we've got to think differently about this stuff. We're wasting time and money and we're losing good candidates. So let's just figure out how to use technology to our advantage.
Well, and it's been... then they've had to do that. And there have been, you know, industries and sectors of industries that have obviously fared a lot better than others this year.
Yeah.
But I think the advantages of filling communication gaps where there were none before with the technologies that now are pretty, pretty strong that are on the market, the conversational AI, as you were talking about, and, you know, some of the other sponsors that we have that have those products and services and talking to their customers. I mean, it's made a difference pre-COVID, but it's definitely making a difference now going forward. And we see the results in the candidate experience sentiment is more positive when there's more engagement, even if it's technology. They don't care about the technology. They just care about getting the job.
Right. Exactly.
And if they don't get the job, they care about being communicated with and have definitive closure if you're not going to pursue me any further.
Yeah. And quickly.
And, yes. And timely. Yeah.
And so that another beautiful thing about, and not that I'm out there, you know, selling conversational AI, but listen, I mean, the beautiful thing about it is it gets the process over quickly, whether it's a positive outcome or a negative outcome for the candidate, and they can move on. And then they, you know, they're still going to rate the organization highly for having gotten back to them and given them feedback in a timely manner. I mean, all the stuff we know that the talent board, the Candy Awards has told us with the millions of bytes of data around engage me, give me feedback, give me an opportunity to give feedback, and let's move the process along quickly. Those are the kind of key feedback points that we've heard from the talent board for a couple of years now. And it's, if you're not thinking about it in that way and employing technologies and processes that are addressing those wants from candidates, then you're missing the boat, I think, because other organizations are.
Whatever the world looks like, those are the primary differentiators every year that we see. And it does come down to communication and feedback loops, no matter what. And technology empowers that more than ever before and will continue to do so as well. What's one more note on that is that we did see this year, because we're wrapping up our 2020 benchmark research report.
Right. So
we just released some of the briefs that will go with those while the other report's being worked on. But what we've known even a few months ago in our data this year is that the overall experience actually did increase and more positively. And what we call the resentment rate, candidates not willing to do anything, did decrease. A lot of that, you know, candidates have been more forgiving this year, but we also know that there's been this empathetic communication like we've never seen before either, meaning employers, either they went completely dark, which was not a good thing, or they did say, like, what are we going to tell our candidates and our employees as we try to figure all this crap out? Because that's really what it came down to, is how do we keep the business moving forward and keep communicating? And I think that was a big, big key. Because we're also at Talent Board, we're doing some deeper dive work with some of the companies. I want to hear more now about people results and some of the work that you've been focused on and what you're going to continue to do in 2021. So you mentioned audits. Tell us more about what the work that you're doing and you're excited about with people results.
Yeah. And so maybe to step back. So people results is a group of consultants who share some DNA from our time at Accenture. So many of us worked at Accenture for a long period of time and knew each other there. So we bring a really, for those of you who understand what Accenture is based on, it is typically very practical business and technology consulting. So they do large scale implementations and large scale change management. And so many of our consultants bring that change management expertise and bring them to our clients. And so I joined as someone who has not practiced change management, but I actually was responsible for hiring change management folks at Accenture for quite a period of time. So I know enough to be dangerous. And then I know talent acquisition, because that's really been my career. So what I do is work with people results clients and people results clients who need to think about their talent acquisition in a different way. And what we often will come with is, of course, an open mind in terms of what's currently going on in talent acquisition. But then almost always, the way we hope to address with our clients is digitization and humanization. And I think what you just mentioned, the whole, you know, feedback from this last year, companies have pivoted and moved to hopefully a more human perspective, as well as candidates, you know, have kind of lowered their, let's call it, lowered their expectations or kind of become a little more humble. And I think it's a wonderful convergence and an opportunity for everybody to kind of rethink. So many of my clients are trying to figure out how to make their process more human and more digitized. And those two are not in conflict. They are actually in collaboration. I think to the extent that we can use digital solutions to humanize the process, to speed up the process, to make it more able for us to give candidates feedback and candidates to give us feedback, that is a wonderful thing. And then in some cases, my clients are looking for help on org structure. They want to know how to organize their teams. They want to understand metrics and benchmarks. How much should it cost to hire a particular kind of a profile? Or how should they think about budgeting for the next year in terms of people, process, and technology? And then I also do RPO advisory, as I mentioned earlier. So a number of my clients want to know if they should outsource, and if so, to whom, who's going to be the best fit, what parts of the process should be outsourced, should it be the whole thing, what geographies. So I, thankfully, when I worked with Accenture, I started the global part of my career and then continued that at Aon and at Amazon. So I've done a lot of work globally. I actually lived and worked in Frankfurt, Germany for 3 years when I was with Accenture and led a part of their recruiting for West Europe and then ultimately Austria, Switzerland, Germany. So I think I have a perspective, and then later on led teams in India. So I have this unique perspective on that not all the best ideas come out of the US. There's a lot of really bright people.
Come on, Aaron.
All over. Yeah, go figure.
I know.
It's a big world out there, and there's just so much interesting stuff going on. So I love the global part of my role, and I have a couple of clients who literally have global recruiting teams who are working together or separately trying to get it right. And it's not the same everywhere, as we well know. So it's a lot of fun.
But, you know, I think one thing that there are a lot of either nuance as well as even really specific differences globally in recruiting and hiring and as it relates to the impact of candidate experience. But there is something for companies of any hiring volume and scale, the humanization part, as you're calling it, that's tough to do at the point of application. It can be done. You can have a much better personable communication strategy on what's being triggered at different stages of the process, especially considering that the majority of folks will research and apply, and that's as far as they're ever going to get.
Right.
So, but what is said at that point, but it is tough because it's only going to be a much smaller pool that actually get more human interaction later.
No, it's true. I mean, unless, you know, sorry to over-index on the conversational AI. I mean, when you think about that, though, really great case study coming out of one of the providers and a client that they have that is actually regionalized their digital assistants, so that not only are you getting this conversational AI interaction right from the get-go with that particular bot, but they have actually regionalized it so that it takes on a different persona depending on what region you're in. So think about that. I mean, like, we're really getting to the point now where we're anticipating the preferences of our candidates. And if you lean into it, you can actually do something really special and differentiate yourself. So those are the clients I love to work with that really want to be out on the bleeding edge, want to do something really different, not just the same old, we need to do better when it comes to interviewing. Of course, interviewing is important too, and we have to get that right. But I think there are other ways that you can disrupt the process and think about it differently that actually make the human touch component, you know, later on, that much more productive, because frankly, you're touching fewer people with actual humans in that case. I think, you know, Amazon has documented their attempts at this pretty well, in that years and years and years ago, there was a sort of a thing they called no touch recruiting. So their experiment was around, could you hire somebody without touching them? Well, at the time, it was completely radical. Today, I think there's more and more organizations with or without conversational AI that are actually, you know, trying to do that. So I love love the people who are willing to take the risks and do the experiments, because I think it leads us all to a better place.
It does. And we can be more personalized in the technology realm with these AI-related technologies that do exist today, to be able to differentiate regionally, even on even locally level. I mean, I think when we get to that point of being much more, I guess, for lack of a better word, hyper-personalized, the way that the systems are interacting with all candidates and employees for that matter. I think that's the road we're on right now.
Yeah.
So tell us a few more things, Erin, I wanted to hear from you about. So what are you excited about going into 2021 with the customers you're working with the everything that we've been talking about? Is it more of the same? What are you looking forward to with people results next year?
Well, I think as 2020 was the year of the pivot, I think 2021 will be the year of pent up demand. I think there's a lot of organizations that are, you know, thinking right now about the post-vaccine world and when we need to get back. And it's this really unique interim time when we have a minute to think about how to do it better. So I think there's pent-up demand in a bunch of different places. Number one, you know, just doing workforce planning better, doing candidate engagement better, getting ready for what we think will be the big wave of recovery coming after everybody gets back. And then I think in this interim too, there's been an opportunity for people whose other businesses have been disrupted to try new stuff, build new stuff, you know, come up with new technologies. So I'm excited to see what's sitting in the lab that we haven't heard about yet, not the COVID lab, but the, you know, process and technology lab that might be new technologies that are going to come on the market that we have to figure out how to sort through. I mean, the talent tech labs, I think that Infogram is well known in that they sort of categorize all the new technologies in source, engage, select, hire. It's a lot of stuff that has come on the market recently. And I think it's incumbent upon those of us who advise talent acquisition leaders and HR leaders to get ready to be really well-versed in what all of it has to offer and try to figure out what's going to be right for what size organization, what type of organization, and then, you know, help those leaders figure out how to spend their very scant resources on the right technologies. So yeah, pent-up demand. That would be my kind of headline for 2021.
Love it. I'm feeling bullish too. So I'm hoping that we will see that. And of course, this is, you know, a gratuitous plug for Talent Board and the Candies. Companies definitely need to be benchmarking their candidate experience next year.
Yes.
Don't you think? Yes.
I do think, and even if what I always tell clients is, even if you're not going to pay for the full freight of what could be the candy experience or apply for the award, that's okay. Just get the data.
That's what it's about, first and foremost.
Yeah. Just go for it. Get the feedback, get the data so that you're actually even collecting data on an even playing field with other providers.
Correct.
Or sorry, other hirers. And you can start to do a real apples to apples comparison about how you're doing and start making improvements. So it's all about the data.
Yeah, agreed. It's all getting that benchmark research. So Erin, we're working all the time, right? We're always work. What else besides work does Erin like to do?
Well, okay. So my kids are grown. Okay. And so it's just my hubby of 35 years and me and the dog who, you know, are working from home almost all the time. Although my husband's a pilot, so he does have to actually go somewhere to work. But otherwise we're home here in Austin, Texas, right downtown, which is super interesting. And we moved downtown because we love live music. We love kind of all that Austin has to offer. And so that would be what we love to do on the weekends when things are normal. Right now, not so normal, but that's okay. You know, we go out to the hill country occasionally, and then we love to travel. We have traveled our entire married life together and we love it. So we've been all over the world and can't wait for the time when we're able to get back to that. Beyond that, I would say I have a podcast of my own. Sorry. Shameless plug here.
Plug away.
Okay. It's called Big Fish in the Talent Pool. And I interview heads of talent acquisition. And the primary thrust here is not so much business development or even branding for me, but it is about future talent leaders. I'm really passionate about helping future leaders see what it's really like to be a TA leader, because I don't know that everybody really kind of understands that life is not a straight line up. You know, there's ups and downs, there's right. challenges, there's issues, there's obstacles. And I really try to shine a light on that as I interview existing talent acquisition leaders so that they can talk about their path and their career and what keeps them up at night, just to be able to give future leaders a real sense of what they need to do if they really want to be a big TA leader. And I really do focus on my swim lane, which is TA leadership, the most senior TA leader in an organization. That's really important to me to just make sure I'm interviewing those folks. So I love CHROs and other HR leaders, but this podcast is not about that. It's about TA specifically. So we talk all about technology and process and org structure, and then the careers of the individuals that I'm interviewing. And I love it. I'm having such fun, and it's just a lot of fun. And then I do some board work too, some volunteer work. I'm on the board of Jeremiah Program, which is a terrific organization helping single moms and their kids and break the cycle of two generation poverty. So yeah, so it's a busy life, and I am blessed.
Oh, well, amen to that. And thank you so much again, Erin, for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Look forward to seeing you in person again at some point in the future. So that definitely will happen, hopefully sooner than later.
Fingers crossed for fall 2021. And maybe we can get together for the Candy Awards.
Exactly. Well, listen, otherwise we will talk again very soon. And thanks again for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Take care. Be well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and benchmark research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.